Welcome to Changing Playbooks, an actual play show about making and embracing the change in the stories we tell and the impact that has on us, the players. My name is Claire Ross. I'll be facilitating the game today, and you can find me on YouTube and Twitch at Claire Skies Ahead, as well as on the show I co-host at Soul Cravings. Our players today are Rally Darling.
Hey, I'm Rally Darling. She, her. I'm playing Anya, also known as Sinette. Any pronouns? You can find me around.
Camellia Sinestris.
Hi, I'm Camellia. Also go by Cam. You can find me at twitch.tv/CamelliaSinestris. It'll be linked somewhere. Don't worry about spelling that out. I'll be playing Tiffany Ramis, she, her. Oh, yeah. Also, I pronounce she, her. I'm good at this. yeah. Let's go. Let's games. Oh, yeah.
And Lou.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lou. I don't have any place you can find me except here. I'll be playing Argus, who uses he, him pronouns, and I use they, them pronouns.
Yeah, don't go anywhere else. Just stay here forever.
Today
we are going to be getting into, for real this time, our campaign of Girl by Moonlight by Andrew Gillis. If you didn't listen to the world creation episodes or the character creation, that is honestly fine. I feel like it does add something, but this is the thing we're doing. So we're here. So it's everyone's favorite day of the month, of the year, or however long it takes to decide that you want to change in your life because it's moving day. Moving day, of course, in a nomadic community is when you have the opportunity to make new connections, help out, and see new places that you've never seen before. It provides you a chance to learn something new and maybe let go of something old. It also means that you are going to need to get some supplies because you do not want to travel without being prepared. And as the three of you, Tiffany, Argos, and Anya, are basically tasked with different aspects of getting these supplies, we are going to go into the first phase of this episode, the obligation phase. And in the obligation phase, we're just straight off the bat going to give all of you stress. And we'll see how that goes.
Love it.
So just to read very quickly the obligation phase. In the obligation phase, we see the protagonists in their day-to-day lives. Their obligations show us the mundane face of the forces they struggle against. The nature of these obligations will vary by series, but they are always a source of stress and struggle for the protagonists. When you roll obligation, roll your lowest attribute, taking stress equal to 6 minus the die result. On a critical success, you get an additional downtime action. We'll get to what that means. I'm going to be explaining a lot of mechanics, I feel like, since this is the first time that we're going to be talking about a lot of them. For any result, we're going to narrate, do a little like narration. It can be very brief. It can be a whole scene. I'm going to leave that up to y'all as players. And you're going to roll with one of your attributes that is sun, moon, or stars. And I'll help y'all in terms of what that means. They each have sort of a different thing. And so just to start off, does anyone want to go first and read what their obligation is? And maybe we can start talking about the mechanics from there and what that means.
I will. So the lowest attribute for me is sun, because I have 0 sun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to go really good.
Oh, yeah. Which means I roll 2 dice and I take the worst of them.
Yeah, that is exactly how it works. So I guess just like as an overall, if anyone listening has played or listened to a Forged in the Dark game or a game based on Blades in the Dark, that's how the core mechanics of this work. When we're rolling dice, we're going to be rolling a number of dice called a dice pool. And so instead of adding these numbers, we're going to pick the biggest number. Of course, when you have 0 in an attribute, instead of rolling that number of dice, you're actually going to roll 2 and take the lowest. So it's not a great place to be, but you know, We'll get better. We all learn and grow. But for now, you said son?
Yeah. Weirdly, so, there is already a role for my character for obligation for son in the chat, and I'm a little confused about that.
Don't worry about that. That was
okay,
testing
literally the role I need to make is just kind of hanging out there, so I was a bit perplexed.
I don't know if you want that role.
I
guess it's three is the answer.
It's six minus the number. Three is pretty good when you have disadvantage, as it were.
That's fair. But
I didn't roll it, so I'll roll it now. That's much worse.
Oh my god.
So fucking love that.
One. That's a one.
So, Tiffany.
That's more than half my stress pool.
Holy fuck. Well, thankfully, we'll get into why this is fine actually later. It's fine and good and cool. So, you're going to take five stress. And to explain stress, stress are kind of your points you can spend to get through the shit of life. Things are going to happen to you. You will fail rolls. And in order to push past that, you will take stress. You have 9 stress total before you go into what is called eclipse. We'll get to that later. So you just filled 5 out of 9 of them. And you rolled sun. So your obligation involves scary people or circumstances or is physically taxing. Do you want to do a little vignette or set a little scene in terms of framing what has gone on with your obligation?
Yeah. Do we want to have like a little introductory to our current setting?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess here's my question. How close to home are you?
Well, I suppose the first question is, since we are all three of us in a group that does resource gathering, are we out doing that right now, or are we back at our town packing things up to get ready for the move?
I think we're out there.
You're out there?
Yeah, if that's our obligation is listed, like, I think we're out there trying to collect.
Okay, how many people are in our group? Because there's the three of us, and we're presumably all in one group. But presumably you don't just have three people gathering resources.
Yeah, I'd been imagining like a few hundred at minimum, maybe a couple thousand, maybe like 10,000 at the extreme before things sort of split and, you know, like groups go off on their own since it's nomadic.
How big is our community?
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Because presumably not everyone goes out and resource gathers, right?
Oh, no. Sorry. Yes.
When you're saying like 10,000 people 10,000 gathering, people. I'm going, holy, that's
a lot of people.
You have a
couple million people. No. But to give you a little bit of a sense of where you are, I am imagining you are in what is known as the Linifer Mountains right now. You can imagine these mountains as sort of quite high peaks and low valleys. We have these snowy peaks, sunny valleys in the same season, rolling hills, green vegetation. The summer rains create mountain-fed lakes and rivers. Anyone who lives in the northwest of North America, just imagine the Rockies. And then I imagine you are not quite nearby any settlements, but there is a town at the bottom of a valley called Shineair, probably a few hours away by either bike or foot. But otherwise, imagine dense vegetation, places that you might be able to get supplies such as wood or food or anything you can imagine.
So we are currently out in the field with our group, which is like, are we talking in the order of 5 people in our little group or 25 people? Like, what's the sort of, when you have a group doing gathering?
Yeah, I imagine it gets like you split up more and more as you go out, right? Like you cover more ground, sort of like a branching tree where you start together and then like you split up a bit and then that group splits up even more.
It makes sense that there would be like pods, right? So you have a larger group and then each of the pods go off and look at certain areas.
Exactly. So who do you want to be there is really the question. It could literally just be you with a little vignette. You and another person. You and another protagonist. You and all the protagonists and another person. Really, the choice is yours.
I think it's definitely not just me because my obligation is going to involve scary people.
Or physically taxing.
Oh, yes, but this time it's going to involve scary people.
Ah, got it. Okay.
I think whoever it is that's in charge of this little pod as it's split off does not take too kindly to Tiffany being kind of bookish and not... is a logistical person not actually doing a lot of the gathering. And I think they find this to be offensive and weak.
Oh, my God.
And so I think she is getting berated for not pulling her weight when she's organizing everything.
Oh, berated by the person you're trying to help manage?
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, she's been paired up. Well, not paired up, but like put in a group with a real piece of work who subscribes very strongly to notions of the sacred that we've established for our setting and is therefore loud and forceful and outspoken in a very toxic and self-serving kind of way.
And for anyone who didn't listen to the character creation episode, the sacred is power and bravado. So you're really imagining someone who maybe is getting up in your face.
Oh, yeah. Someone who is strong and throwing that around.
Ooh, yeah, that's quite stressful.
Yep. So basically, I have been selected as the weak person that can be made to feel bad in order to puff this person up.
Damn.
You know, I got a 5 stress. I figure I should lean
into
that.
Yeah, no, it's the worst you could get.
So, yeah, that's what she's currently doing. She's trying to explain to this person the importance of logistics and how making sure everything is in order and that we, you know what we're looking for is an important contribution, not just going around and grabbing stuff and doing the physical labor, but also management is legitimate. And this person is not hearing it.
So first roll of the game. Very good. Who wants to go next? Come on, Cam really set the bar high. I know it's going to be hard to beat, but...
Yeah, all right.
Just roll a 1 as well, then you two can go as hard as I did.
I have 1D for all 3, so I should
So you
just
get to pick.
Pick,
basically.
Yay, okay.
So would you like to know what the different attributes represent?
Let's share that for our listeners.
Well, I just read what sun represents, which is scary people, circumstances, or is physically taxing. Moon is your obligation breaks your heart and drives you to despair. And stars is your obligation puts you under social pressure or sets off your anxiety. Really fun selection there.
Hot damn!
Holy shit!
Yeah!
Let's go!
Yep, that's how we do it.
Do you wanna share?
So I rolled stars. If stars is rolled, your obligation puts you under social pressure or sets off your anxiety, and I happen to roll a 6.
So no, it doesn't.
Zero,
I guess.
Zero stress. It's fine.
You're so
good.
Chill.
Does not give 2 shits nor fuck about any of this.
So what is your obligation for everybody, and then what is happening? What is this? What is this scene or vignette?
My obligation. I'm a wayfinder, so I am helping to figure out where to go. What it looks like is, as Tiffany is being kind of yelled at for not knowing what's going on and not taking, not leading, Anya is up in a tree scouting out ahead where to go next, and sort of just basking in the sunlight, enjoying the breeze, maybe picking off, you know, different leaves and sort of looking at them before shrugging and scampering back down with ease and, landing and observing Tiffany get yelled at by this person. And she sort of just exhales and, oh God, okay, well, and goes over and drapes themselves over this person that's trying to give Tiffany a hard time, sort of trying to break the ice by asserting a bit of, hey, how's it going? What's up? You know?
Perfect. I do want to say, even though we kind of said a little bit about this in the character creation episode, just in case, what does Anya look like? Could you give us, like, what's the vibe? Is there any specific characteristics that you would highlight, character model?
The three adjectives for Anya were soft, cuddly, and solid. Red flowing curls in loose buns, olive skin, very rather tall, but also rather not thin, muscular-esque, but not to the point where there's defined muscles. She's sort of just this person who, they don't really have any... They're androgynous to an extent. Less so now, but yeah, kind of just a solid person.
Literally.
On every level.
All right.
But I should also give a description of Tiffany,
yes,
shouldn't
please.
I? Yeah. She is also quite tall, but she's always hunched over, so nobody really thinks of her as such. It's like, do you ever have that friend where when they stand up straight and stop slouching, you go, oh, wow, you're tall. that's Tiffany. So she's quite mousy. She's always hunched over. She's got kind of long brown hair that's usually pulled back or tied up in some way. She wears very practical clothes, very no-nonsense. Someone who has always had something that interested her more than taking care of her appearance, essentially. And therefore never really learned how to.
All right. Then that leaves just Lou.
Okay. So to start, we got Argus, who is, I'm going to say, like a solid 5'3", 5'4", maybe.
He's kind of short king.
Yeah, short king. He's short and squat and pretty, like, dense looking, like, pretty stocky, as I described him before. Wearing a lot of earth tones. Not quite leather armor, but like protective gear as the defender of the kind of scavengers. He's got a buzzed haircut, brown hair. If he ever smiles, you see he has a very chipped front tooth. And I imagine he has this like kind of woven kind of flax, like flax material cowl in like a kind of a dirty gray brown color that kind of also serves as a hood over his head. Probably carries a big backpack, and he has this dog that is a herding dog that follows them on their trips out of town. But whenever they're in town, the dog is with the livestock, guarding the livestock because it's a working dog. And yes, his obligation is to be a protector slash guard for the resource gathering team. And it looks like I have no points in sun either.
Hey!
I will be great. Rolling a resistance roll, I guess, for sun. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do I just click the sun icon on roll 20?
I think you just click the sun icon, yeah.
Okay,
also, you've heard of sun and moon gaze, so I present to you willow and oak gaze.
What?
Well, just in terms of build, right? Because we've got Tiffany, who is tall and thin and mousy, and then we've got Argus, who is short and solid and stocky.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yes.
The dichotomy. Okay, here we go. Yay!
Oh, Jesus. Hey! Join me in the pit!
No. That's center. No middle sliders.
That's the one, baby. Okay, so...
Oh...
Let's see. So if sun is rolled, so your obligation involves stress. Scary people or circumstances or is physically taxing. So I imagine while out on this resource gathering mission, what someone on the team finds a source of mushrooms in this kind of rocky area and starts digging underneath one of the boulders to get more into this deposit and is picking mushrooms. And is very like, this is a very good, like almost like truffle level, like really good stuff. But as they're digging, they destabilize the earth and the rock tumbles onto them and lands on their leg or something or arm, and they get trapped under the boulder. As one of the stronger people in the group and technically the defender, Argus has to try and help free them and tries to lift the rock and get them out or dig them out. And it's very stressful because they are screaming and in pain and, you know, maybe other team members, maybe the one that was blaming Tiffany earlier is also blaming Argus for not, you know, preventing this harm from happening, even though, like, hard to protect from a rock. But anyways, I imagine that is happening. There's lots of yelling. He probably has a pretty sore back at the end of it from trying to free this person. And I imagine they do free them. It's just, you know, a minor, like a an injury that is not life-threatening.
We've just created a foreman that we all detest. It's great.
Can I add maybe just a little touch of foreboding?
Yes.
As you are lifting this boulder and there are screams, there's an extra scream that as you're lifting this boulder, you're not really paying attention to like the fact that there is this extra scream. And as you're lifting this, what the camera sees is sort of the edges of the screen would be getting darker and narrower as it's sort of centering in on you. And there's this haze surrounding you. And as soon as you lift the boulder and drop the boulder down and this person is out, it's gone and you're back to normal.
Hmm. So there's another, like an echo, or I hear another scream on top of the one of the person.
Yeah, it was probably just an echo. Don't worry about it.
It's just, it's all so loud. There's just a lot of commotion. You know what? Of course.
It's probably some ringing in your ears, like you're lifting a heavy object.
Yes.
Yeah, that would stress me out.
And so I'm taking... Is it correct I'm taking 4 stress or 5 stress? Or 5 stress.
5. I'm sorry.
This is beautiful.
It's 6 minus your roll.
Thank you so much. This is brutal.
This is awesome. Love this. Bring on the misery. Make me suffer.
Don't say that because I am about to give you an extra task.
Hell yes.
So, we are using a custom playset called Within the Convergent Storm. This is a playset I made based on Into the Abyss. And as part of it, there is a playset rule I made called Encroaching Storm. So if you all go to the Encroaching Storm tab, you have to pick one of these. Now, the rules are such that you can only pick a tier where you cannot have more in a higher tier than you have in a lower tier. So if you wanted to pick one tier 2, you would have to have at least one tier 1 first. Now, these are alternating in bad and good. So in order to get to the good, you got to go through the bad. You got to weary the storm first. And so to start out, you have a choice of one of 5 moves, which is limited spoons, -1d to obligation rolls, which we saw how good that went. Bad memory, flashbacks cost +1 stress. Meticulous learners add +1 to the number of experience needs to level up a track. Under pressure, stress bars are 1 segment smaller. What could go wrong? Engagement rolls start with 0D instead of 1D.
Under pressure.
Wow.
Well, that was fast.
This is permanent, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it applies to all of us.
Okay.
Right?
All of
I
you.
Mean, look, that's why I'm just saying it. And if y'all disagree, then we talk about it. I'm just saying, look,
yeah,
-1 to obligation rules, really bad, as we just saw. As we get better, we will have less bad obligation rules in time, right?
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah, so if we have -1, that would have meant that we all rolled what we just did, and it would take us longer to get out of that for the two of us who did that. Bad memory. Flashbacks, I think, are pretty powerful. So having them cost a bonus stress every time, add up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Meticulous learners means we grow slower. No one wants that. What could go wrong? Engagement rules start with 0D. I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah, it's a little early to fully know what that means. But basically, think of it as when you cut to the action, how good will things be going?
I feel like we want engagements to be going well. And so starting with 0 seems bad. So given all that, I'll just take a permanent debuff to my stress track. Like, it sucks, and I'm going to go into a flip more, at least, especially if I keep rolling 1s on my obligation phase. But I will take the static increase to difficulty that is always there and always kind of sucks over the thing that ruins you in the moment because it just is that extra thing that goes wrong.
Can't argue with that.
Also, I like the song. What can I say?
Yeah, I agree. Under pressure and bad memory would not work together.
Yeah, that'll chew through our, like, our really stress track very rough. Fast. I mean, we don't know how quickly we do flashbacks. Here's another thing. We don't know how bad the other 4 are yet, so committing to them right now feels like a potentially grave misstep. We will be doing more of these in time, so if we do the one that we know is bad, but like we know that it's bad and we lock it in, we can learn what we can handle for the next one. Because obviously the next time this happens, we're going to do tier two, which is positives. So we actually have two rounds of this before we have to pick again. So by the time we get back to doing this to pick another tier one, we will all like we'll have a better sense of what we can handle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fine.
Rally, what are your thoughts?
You know how we talked about bad memory? Well, my bad memory is a little bit different. And I'm just going to go with it because I could not keep any of that straight. And you know what? That's fine because I'm not straight. Let's do it.
So under pressure because you have bad memory, not bad memory because you have a bad memory.
Yeah, well, you're putting my bad memory under pressure right now, and I can't recall it.
I'm so sorry. Let me just check under pressure. All right, so you have under pressure now. So everybody add one to your stress.
Yes, ma'am.
You're really burning through them. Oh, my God.
This is great.
Well, thankfully, now we're getting into the nice part of the game. All right, so now we're getting into downtime. This is the next phase of the game. During downtime, the protagonists pursue their personal goals and set themselves up for future success. Based on the roles, you'll take a different number of links or experience or whatnot, and we can go through that one at a time. But the four default moves at the beginning are make a connection, help a friend recover, work on a long-term project, and investigation. To go over them, and also make a connection is different in this playset, but it's not that different. So let me just go through the default first. When you make a connection, choose another protagonist and describe something the two of you do together. So this is like you're hanging out. Help a friend recover is describe how you're supporting their healing process and roll an appropriate action. Work on a long-term project is describe what you are setting out to accomplish. We will get to like work towards something you want. It can be, I'm not going to say anything, but it can be quite large. And we'll start talking about like the mechanics of that and what that requires. But if you think your character has something that they're like set on, that they are like spending their free time doing, that's sort of what this is for. That isn't like hanging out with people and whatnot, right? Your personal project. And then finally, you have investigation. When you investigate, describe how you are seeking information about your adversaries, in which case this is the storm. And so this would be seeking out information about the storm and whatnot, trying to get ready for things. What is going on? And so those are the four moves, and each of you can get two of them. If you had critted on obligation, you could have had an extra one.
I get a third one because I'm nobody.
You get a third one. Excellent. So you would have gotten a fourth one, but
yeah, if I got a critical,
that's
powerful. But that's literally impossible when you're only rolling, when you're taking the lowest of two dice, you cannot get a critical success.
You're right. You literally cannot. Yeah. Two sixes is not a crit if you are rolling zero. That is important. Instead of make a connection, however, the move is offer vulnerability or intimacy. So it's kind of the same thing, except I'm adding a little bit of extra opportunity. So in downtime, you may offer vulnerability or intimacy to another protagonist. Describe the circumstances of your encounter and how you are vulnerable in that moment. Ask them, do you offer vulnerability or intimacy in return? If they share how they offer you vulnerability or intimacy in return, you gain the same number of links as they do as a result of the role. If they do not, mark experience. This is very powerful.
It's so strong.
It's so strong, dependent on people being aligned, which if you were listening to the character creation, this playset is really designed around the idea of helping each other and community. So you still get an experience if it doesn't, because I'm imagining this is a learn, like you've learned something. Regardless of the outcome, you've learned something. Now, the one thing is you can't do the same pair of characters twice in one downtime. That's the only thing. So you could do it a total of two times each of you, since there are three of you, which for two out of three of you, that's kind of the maximum you can do anyways.
And considering that you can spend a link to recover two stress,
mm-hmm.
this is looking very, very good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So is this replacing?
Yes, replacing the make a connection.
Yeah.
So in terms of offering vulnerability and whatnot, you can read it as like you don't have to always be vulnerable. I am encouraging this, but if you don't feel comfortable, like, just assume it's like spending time together, just like make a connection, but you probably won't get those extra effects.
Yeah. And so this is rolled with
whatever makes sense.
Yeah, but it's rolled. It's not rolled with one of the broad stats. It's rolled with the specifics, like not sun, yes, moon, or star. Yeah. It's rolled with confess, mm-hmm, forgive, etc.
The action. Yeah, the action, not the attribute.
There so we go. Have, those are the words.
You have 9 actions, and those are categorized under 3 attributes.
Okay, cool.
We can get to them as they come up. So would anybody like to take their first downtime action?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just... For the offer vulnerability or intimacy, that is done exclusively with another player character?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. I mean, obviously, I'm going to do that because some links sound really, really good right now, since that can clear stress and also just is powerful.
So then I guess to set a little bit of the scene, you know, the obligation is done. You've been out. You've done your jobs. Regardless of the amount of stress that maybe some people experienced in these woods, it was still rather successful, right? There's lots of people. It doesn't just hinge on you. And this is a community that has done this a number of times at this point. Maybe you'll do another round, but for now, for the day, you're done. You know, it's time to take a load off, be with the people you enjoy, the people you love, or even just doing your own thing. And what that looks like, we haven't talked through too much other than you all live in shared housing.
What is Argus's dog's name?
Odysseus.
Important. Odysseus.
Or Odie for short, as we...
Odie, right?
Odie, yeah.
I remember now.
Did you have a breed for Odie? I think we talked about a few of them.
I think I decided on the Romanian something or other. Just let me scroll up for one moment here.
It's a beautiful breed, the Romanian something or other.
The Romanian some such.
Carpathian? Carpathian?
Yeah.
The Carpathian shepherd dog. Wow, what a good little lad.
Would that be Carpathian?
Yes, it is that. It's not what I said. Wow, they look very different. I'm just looking at like the Wikipedia image, and that's just like a good lad.
Yeah.
Just like a solid, fluffy little guy.
Yeah, I'm imagining he's got a pretty thick coat because he sleeps outside and
lots of snuggling.
Sheds a lot. Yeah, kind of a like a black and brown and bits of white, maybe.
These are incredibly precious looking creatures, huh?
They're perfect.
They surely are. And Tiffany agrees, which is why basically as soon as we are back from the day, she is going to sit down next to Odie and be giving him scritches and cuddles and is basically just doing a little pet therapy right now.
Oh, where are you?
Wherever Odie is. So Odie was, I believe, spent most of his time with the livestock, Argus is back, might be with Argus.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, I don't know what type of livestock we have, but, you know, something that travels with us as we go, any type of herding animal. Yeah, Argus would probably be there too, maybe brushing Odie or something. Maybe he's blowing his coat, so he needs a lot of care. Or he picked up a lot of stuff in the forest as we were traveling. So
Tiffany will volunteer to brush Odie.
Perfect.
Because it gives her an excuse to be just petting the dog, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be sat down outside in a field, a pen, wherever Odie is. And if Argus is also here, I was thinking of doing a little something with Argus.
Perfect. We could say you're brushing Odie and Argus, you know, he just finished fixing one of the fences or something and comes over to you and you know, drops his hammer and bag of tools and sits next to you and the dog.
We should name this person that was harassing both of us.
Oh, if you want a name, do you want it to be one of your connections? Otherwise, I'm going to propose Quill.
Quill, done. What are Quill's pronouns? Quill's an asshole, whatever the pronouns are, but it's important to know the pronouns.
Yeah.
Let me get this bitch's pronouns before I curse them out.
Exactly.
Let's say Quill's pronouns, are they them?
Yeah, I think sitting, brushing Odie, looking down at Odie, you're just going to hear Tiffany say, Quill's not very nice.
Quill was never nice.
Guess not.
Do you remember last winter?
I didn't spend any time. It was kind of a rush. I just got back.
Well, Quill lost a lot of things that winter. But they were never nice even before it. It just made it worse.
Yeah. Thank you for... I don't know. Odie's doing well.
Yes. If you can work on his back legs more, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
See that? Do you see that right on the back left? Can you get
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. I'm glad you still have a dog. You know, when I went away, I often thought about your dog and was worried that, you know, I'd never get to see him again.
Odie's got a few more years, at least. He's good. He lost a goat last winter too, and I think it's still sitting with him. It is.
You know the thing where you like grab a dog's face and just lightly scritch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, gonna get one of those. You lost a goat.
Yeah.
This is a little different from what I was expecting to be doing. I don't know. How do you do it?
Do work?
This? Yeah. I mean, I thought I was going to be, you know, studying readings and making transmissions through storms and
doing more talking.
You know, then. Fun stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Reinhold once told me talk only gets you so far.
Talk doesn't seem to get you very far at all.
No. You have to use your hands. You have to be there. You have to be strong.
Your mind, that all the time.
The mind does not need to be strong. It needs to be malleable. You need to be ready for whatever comes at you out there. Quill is not strong because all they do is yell and be angry. They don't know how to work the way we're supposed to work.
But a lot of people seem to think Quill is doing a good job, and I mean they're very physically strong, and that is, if they weren't, they would not be quite so scary.
Perhaps. I think Odie is the hardest working of all of us, and he has nothing to say at all. I try to be like Odie sometimes.
But I like talking to you. So
I think at that, Argus kind of shoulders hunch a little more, and he turns away a bit and just starts petting Odie, like kind of avoiding the yeah.
Oh.
And then he just whispers, he says it so quietly, he says, "Odie really missed you when you were gone."
Do I hear that?
I think so. I think it's just very quiet, and you know when people speak through their animals, he's just doing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Guess what Tiffany doesn't pick up on?
It's perfect.
I missed Odie too. Oh. He's a good boy.
Fuck. So I'm taking it off. Do you offer vulnerability or intimacy in return as a no contextually? I was just going off of that last thing, but that might not be fair.
Hard to say. Like, well, if we imagine that Argus is usually even less communicative, if he's showing that much, does that count as, like, if he is...
Yeah, I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, it can be an offer even if I don't pick up on it.
That's what I think. I think that was an offer, you know, in his limited ability to communicate in that moment. So, yeah.
All right. What are you rolling, Cam?
I was going for confess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just to read confess. Confess is when you expose the inner world of your thoughts and feelings to another. And I think that makes sense.
Yeah, if I click on that, it's now asking me my position.
It's a fortune.
Fortune, effect, standard, zero, zero?
Mm-hmm.
Transcendent, no. Bonus
we'll
dice,
get into
no.
All that
there's a lot
later.
Of options, golly.
Yeah, there are a lot of options. Don't worry about that. We'll get into that later. All right, you rolled a 3. So you each get 2 links on each other.
All right.
And let's do another downtime action.
I have an idea, but I also think we could go chronologically if Argos wants to do their downtime.
I could use a little more time to stew if you would like to go
more time,
Riley.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Since we are supposed to be treating this as sort of season 2, as it were, then should we have some awareness of what our adversaries are and what it is that we are trying to fight against?
You can definitely have that, and I think it's a good idea. Do you want information? Is this you asking for information, or just that you are asking that you do know information?
This is a request for information so I can determine what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, I mean, if you have faced the storm before, you know, we talked about this in the character creation, what comes out of the storm? Well, we have some strange voices, relics of the past and future. Maybe you've quelled some occurrences, and this could be anything from a natural disaster to maybe something or someone getting taken over by the storm or influenced by the storm acting through them. We have like doomsday cults we talked about. You could have dealt with them. There is this prominent growing threat. Maybe at first it was like you're dealing with it every now and then. And then soon enough, you were noticing that you were dealing with it more and more.
What's an example adventure that people might have been on already?
An adventure could have been like some strange beast comes from the storm and you had to send it back into the storm, or you had to rescue some people who were in the path. Maybe like there was a storm that was heading towards a town that you just couldn't stop, and so you had to evacuate a town. Mm-hmm. Things like this.
I mean, I kind of alluded to last winter, quote unquote, in the previous downtime activity to leave it
you
open
did,
for some
well.
Terrible thing that happened. So that could be it also, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe the storms in winter are especially harsh because it's lower temperatures. So
during last winter, would that have been the first time that Argus and Anya transcended?
I could see that.
And how do people like the idea that Tiffany wasn't around at that point, so she does not know that her friends can do this?
I like that, because you just recently came back, right? So it's been...
Yeah, I was treating it as if it's been a year ago, but if I treat it like it's, you know, been 2 months, then that makes it very easy.
Yeah, it could be like four, you
so
know,
slight
you could
retcon,
back for 6 months.
It's,
you know,
it's not, it was all a blur back then. It was like, no, I hadn't got back yet. So it wasn't remember last winter. It was like, well, you heard about last winter.
Yeah, you heard about last winter. Sure. I like that. Yeah, yeah.
So does this help in choosing a downtime action?
Yeah, I think so. So I've heard about some weird happenings involving the storm. Some people that are like, maybe I've heard about cults or like creatures coming out of the storm. And as a meteorologist, this is very intriguing. Anyway, I already went. So y'all two go next before I do my next one.
I am debating to do either make a connection or start a long-term project. But I almost think, considering the scene that just worked, maybe working on a long-term project.
Then I guess just to read the mechanics first. Mm-hmm. When you start a long-term project, describe what you are setting out to accomplish, and the director will set the size of the project clock. Standard projects are 6 segments. Clocks are longer or more complex if the projects are meant to be longer. We can basically work out how much time this will take, and that's when we think of a clock, we're basically just thinking of a divided circle that we can fill in to represent either a progression of time or effect or effort. So in terms of what you're setting out to accomplish, what is Anya looking to do?
I think Anya is trying to attune to the storm. And by that, I mean she feels harmony with the universe when she transcends. And I think there's a level of discord with the storm. So she's trying to like meditate on the different feelings and figure out like why there is that disconnect. So it's almost like meditation and reflection, as if you're trying to dissect a recipe. You're trying to break out the ingredients to figure out like, oh, these are the emotions that come when a storm is here. These are the experiences. A bit of like internal reflection and a bit of like thinking about the way that it impacts the world as it passes over. I think she's writing out things as poems rather than as like field notes, but that's the way that their mind works. Whenever he's in the storm itself, he's feeling very much like emotionally present, but physically having transcended, they're just kind of like a bit removed from themselves and experiencing it as a locus and not just as like a person. If I'm describing a scene, Anya is laying on a hillside holding up a long length of silk with bells on it, sort of just letting the breeze pass through, almost like a little wind chime or a compass, but thinking back to the last time that the storm had passed over, and also sort of attuning to the landscape as it is now, and trying to think about how things are different while coming up with a little sonnet in their head.
Just so I'm understanding, so that I can like better set a size of clock that might make sense. When you're saying attuned to the storm, how is this different from investigation, which would be like understanding the storm and like seeking information about it, versus, to me, I'm hearing a tune and I'm like, are you trying to control it? Is this like an active power that you're trying to achieve?
I feel like it's investigation in a different sense. The way that I understand investigation is more like applied. What's the source? What's the practical causes? I think the way Anya's thinking about it is they're trying to understand the nature of it, but on an experiential level and not on a logistical, oh, this is caused by these things. Instead, it's like, here is what's occurring. Here's why things feel the way they do. And I'm fine with that switching over to be investigation, if that makes more sense.
Yeah, if you're trying to like understand the storm, that would be investigation, yeah. If you're trying to like gain something that's like beyond just understanding and gaining information and whatnot, then that would probably be more like a long-term project, yeah.
Well, I'm fine either way, so we can make an investigation.
Okay. Then I guess instead to read investigation, when you investigate, describe how you were seeking information, you did that, about your adversaries and roll an appropriate action. Results advance the investigation track in the series playset. Along mm-hmm. with the advancing of the investigation track, use your results as a gather information roll as well. Asking the director questions about what you've discovered, the director will describe what gave you this particular insight and reveal details that were previously unknown to you by answering your questions. Based on like what you described with the wind chimes on the hill, what action do you think this is? And as a reminder, your actions are confess, forgive, perceive, express, defy, empathize, conceal, flow, and analyze. I can make a suggestion, but you can tell me.
You know, I'm drawn to empathize. It doesn't make sense in the context of a storm not being a being, but I'm also thinking that there's perceive, which is obvious. And what was the second to last?
Flow.
I think flow probably is most accurate.
When you move with grace or adapt to your circumstances?
Adapting to circumstances. But I'm also fine with it being perceived.
So it's like weathering something, almost. Yes, like adapting, yeah. Like something is challenging you with your circumstances.
We'll go analyze, since I feel like that's most in terms of like meditative reflection.
Searching beyond the surface, presenting a presentation of the world to discover secrets. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so that's a 3. So on a 3, we're going to fill the clock by 2. Otherwise, this also acts as if you rolled a gather information. So gather information says when a protagonist wants to seek additional information or detail, they can choose to gather information. And on a 1 to 3, you can ask one question. So each of you actually have unique questions on your character sheets.
Mine are, who here can best help me? What are you really feeling? Who here is at their limit? How are X and Y connected? Who here feels alone? And what here is incomplete? I think what here is incomplete, what feels discordant in a storm and on an emotional, like physical level. Again, this could just be that Rally perceives the world in a weird way. And so whenever she thinks of things, it's kind of mixed metaphors, and that's me as a player.
On a 1 to 3, you can only ask what is written down mm-hmm. directly. Anything else, you can kind of ask any follow-up question that doesn't necessarily need to be on the list. This is kind of the limiting of it, is like you are restricted in your information. So what here is incomplete? And I do have something. I don't know if this is really what you wanted. What feels incomplete is you haven't heard from Yuvie in a while. I feel like usually they bug you, you know, every now and then, but it's been a while. Sometimes maybe they're curious and they'll come see how you're doing with writing poems or whatnot, bringing some people to sort of be a little sibling and make fun of you with, but also like good naturedly, and then be like joining you and like bringing them in, like these sort of things. And for some reason, it just feels like, oh, you got through this whole thing, you're wrapping up, and you're done, and you're heading home. And yeah, you know, it's perfectly normal. It just feels a little incomplete.
Okay. I think with that, Anya sort of takes a deep breath and holds it in, and then ties the silk back into their buns, putting their hair back up, and goes off to look for Yuffie.